Morning. Our Old Testament readings are taken from the book of Romans and the Gospel of Matthew. Now hear the word of the Lord. This is Romans 13, 11 through 14. But make sure you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all of your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger. Waiting about until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about.
Matthew 24:36 through 44. But the exact day and hour? No one knows that, not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay awake, alert. You have no idea what day your master will show up. But you do know this. You know that if the homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would arrive, he would have been there with his dogs to prevent the break-in. Vigilant, just like that. You have no idea when the Son of Man is going to show up. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, church family. Thank you, Mullins household, for being our scripture readers today for both Old and New Testament. Claire and Katie and Mark read our Old Testament scripture readings a little earlier, and then Mom and Dad, Heather and Scott, just read our New Testament readings, and they all did an amazing job, so thank you for that. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Hence the Christmas themes that you've already been hearing this morning. It's that time of year when we, as Christians, prepare ourselves for Christ's arrival by looking both backward and forward in time. We look backward to the stories of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and all the events leading up to that day, but we also look forward to the future for that hoped-for day when Jesus will come again, when he will finish completely all of the beauty and good and healing that he began the first time he was here. This will be George's second Christmas, which we anticipate will be slightly more exciting for him than his first Christmas. At his first Christmas, he was not quite 9 months old, and so full-blown consumerism and greed had not yet taken root in him, as you can see from this video of how timidly he opens his presents. I think I forgot to test the audio, but you can see him here. There we go. Looks like it paused. But yeah, there's George opening his very first present last Christmas. This Christmas, he will be just shy of 21 months old and should have a much better handle on what American Christmas expects from him. Greed, ego, impatience, and all of the other wonderful virtues of the season. We will get some more video footage this year, and we'll do an A-B comparing of year one versus year two. All of our lectionary readings this morning, they point to the forward-looking part of Advent. You probably noticed that none of the readings mentioned angels or shepherds, wise men or stars, Mary or Joseph, frankincense or myrrh. Those texts are coming, I assure you, but today's texts aren't looking back. They are looking forward to the next time that Jesus arrives, when all the things that he started 2,000 years ago will be finally and fully brought to completion. If the years when he walked on this earth after being born to Mary and Joseph and growing up in the and living in Galilee, if those years were when Jesus began his mission to love the world back into wholeness and to reconcile everything and everyone back to himself, the second time around, he's going to finish all that. He's going to get all that done. There's a verse in Paul's letter to the Philippians where he talks about this second act of Jesus's, when he will complete all of the work that he began the first time around. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it reads, "The God who started this great work in you will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears." And so our texts this morning point toward that flourishing finish. And the language and the imagery in those texts is absolutely breathtaking. There's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. They'll say, "Come, let's climb God's mountain." He'll settle things fairly between nations. He'll make things right between many peoples. They'll turn their swords into shovels, their spears into hoes. No more will nation fight nation. They won't play war anymore. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. These are beautiful texts. But before diving a little bit deeper into these passages, we're going to start with something a little different this morning, something that will tie back into the message a bit later. When I was a young boy growing up, we had one very important rule in our house. We had lots of rules, but there's only one that I'm mentioning here this morning. That rule was this: as long as me and my two sisters lived under my parents' roof, we had to be enrolled in music lessons. This was non-negotiable. They did allow us to choose the instrument, but that was the extent of our choice in the matter. For anyone who has ever taken music lessons before or had children enrolled in music lessons, you know that this is the time of year when piano recitals happen. And why do we do piano recitals? Three reasons. First, because teachers want their students to experience the shame and humiliation of how little they've practiced, to be put on display for an audience of their peers and family and friends. Second, we do it for the grandparents, because grandparents love recitals. No one is more excited at recitals than grandparents. And third, because recitals are actually helpful. They serve as little timestamps on progress to prove to students and parents and teachers alike that the student is actually learning something. We have a number of young budding musicians in our midst who have graciously agreed to perform a Christmas-themed recital piece for us today, and I'm going to call up Owen and Lydia, Karis and Noah to come and grab a seat, maybe over here near the front. So come on up, and yeah, CJ, thank you for helping out with that. Yes, and the rest of us, by the way, we are going to play the role of the enthusiastic grandparents, aunts and uncles and friends cheering them on. And so to practice our role as the excited, eager audience, let's give them one more big round of applause as they finish making their way up. All right, and Owen, you are the first one up, so go ahead and grab a seat right here at the piano. All right, Owen, I've got a couple questions for you. Sit down. And you can speak right into that microphone. Make sure this microphone is turned on, channel 14. Owen, besides the obvious things like practicing piano and doing homework, what else is your favorite thing to do when you've got free time?
I go to my friend's house a lot.
Well, there you go. Go to your friend's house. Okay, what song are you going to play for us today, Owen?
I'm going to play a part of Carol of the Bells.
Okay. How long have you been playing piano?
I started...
Okay, yeah. And when did you first start working on this song?
Like last week.
Wow. Okay, we are in for a treat. Let's hear it.
All right.
Go for it, Owen.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to be very good at this, but...
Thank you. There we go. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Owen. You can go grab a seat over there. And next up is Lydia. Lydia, come on up. And I've got the same questions for you. Lydia, besides practicing piano, what is your favorite thing to do when you've got free time?
I like to play video games and play with my brother.
All right, awesome, awesome. And what song are you going to play for us this morning?
The First Noel.
The First Noel. How long have you been playing piano?
3 years.
3 years. And when did you first start working on this song?
I got this book 4 years ago, I think, so I've kind of been practicing it on and on.
So you got the book even before you started playing piano?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, all right. Let's hear it, Lydia. Done, Lydia. Yeah, you can just grab a seat back there. And next up is Karis. Come on up. Karis, I got the same questions for you. So besides practicing piano, what is your favorite thing to do when you've got some free time?
Probably like watch TV or play video games.
All right. All right. All right. Awesome. What song are you going to play for us today?
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Okay. And how long have you been playing piano, Karis?
Since I was about 5 years old.
Okay, how old are you now?
11.
11, all right, awesome. All right, let's hear it. Fantastic job, Karis. Yeah, grab a seat. Noah, come on up. All right. Noah's our last recital participant here. Besides, again, I got the same questions for you. Well, one is slightly different. Besides practicing piano and ghostwriting all of your dad's sermons, what is your favorite thing to do when you've got free time?
I play a lot of sports, so I enjoy playing sports.
Awesome. All right. What song are you going to play for us this morning?
I'm going to play Oh Holy Night.
Oh Holy Night. And how long have you been playing piano?
I think 4.5 years.
Okay, yeah. And when did you first start working on this song?
About a month ago.
About a month ago. All right, let's hear it, Noah. Thank you. All right. All right. Thank you all so much. You can stand up and head back to your seats. One more round of applause for our recital participants. That was fantastic. That was so good. The last time that I played a piano recital was in the spring of 1996. It was my final semester at Grant McEwen Community College, where I was finishing up a two-year diploma in jazz piano performance. And the final exam for every graduating student was to put on a 60-minute concert. The selections had to include different genres of jazz, ranging from Latin to swing to bebop and more. And the selections also had to include different band configurations, from solo piano to duets with another instrument to trios, quartets, and more. In addition to classmates and family who made up the audience also included my professors and private teachers who served as adjudicators grading my performance. And I was crazy nervous. And I honestly have no recollection as to how well or poorly I did, but as you can see from this photo, I graduated. So it couldn't have been too terrible. I received my diploma. I mentioned earlier that Advent is this time between Christ's first arrival in a manger in Bethlehem and his second arrival. And in Advent, we look toward and anticipate both. And again, our texts this morning are the looking ahead texts. They paint pictures of what things will ultimately look like when Jesus returns to bring everything to its flourishing finish. So, Noah, Karis, Lydia, and Owen, I have a question for you, and depending on how far you are seated away from me, you may need to shout out your answer. But here's my question. I don't even know where you're sitting right now. Do any of you know what sight reading is? What is sight reading? I see a hand. Noah. There you go. Yes, trying to play a piece of music that you've never seen before. That is sight reading. Now, during your lessons, do your teachers ever make you do that? Yes, okay, yeah. I imagine that sometimes when a teacher introduces a new song to you, they may even ask you to try and do that, to try and sight read the music. So here's another question. How fun would it be if your teacher didn't give you the music for your recital until you sat down at the piano bench to perform your recital? How fun would that be? I see heads vigorously nodding. No, it would not be much fun at all. In a sense, all of our texts today are kind of like being given the music ahead of time. And they are all invitations to start practicing God's song. And the invitation is especially clear in those New Testament texts, especially the one that Scott read for us in Romans, where we read, "Don't lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste another minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about." When Jesus first arrived in those stories that did have the angels and shepherds and wise men and stars and Mary and Joseph and frankincense and myrrh, when he lived and walked the earth, he was kind of like the piano teacher playing the new song for us so we knew and know what it is supposed to sound like. And the new kingdom song sounds like all of those things that Katie and Claire read for us from the book of Isaiah. It's the melody of justice and truth, the notes of God settling all things and making them right between nations. It's the rhythms and sounds of swords being refashioned into shovels and spears melted down into garden tools. But there is a difference between your piano teachers playing a new song for you in your lessons and Jesus playing his new kingdom song for us. When your teacher plays a new song for you to learn, the recital is still a long ways away, maybe weeks or maybe months. But when Jesus lived and walked this earth and played the new song of heaven, he was letting us know the recital has begun. When Jesus walked this earth, God's new world had officially broken in. The music has started, and our job is to listen and pay attention to it, and over time, with practice, to get better and better at playing it along with Jesus. Kind of like a duet, where the student sits on one edge of the bench beside their teacher, and they play together. But instead of a typical duet with just one student sitting with their teacher, this performance features an enormous bench where we can all fit, and we are all invited to play along with Jesus. It's unlikely that Jesus was actually born on December 25th. I'm a spoiler alert for you, if that's what you think. Modern biblical scholars have a lot of reasons why it was likely a different day, but if Jesus was born on December 25th, Mary would have been quite pregnant by this time of year. There's a piece of modern art that shows Mary about how pregnant she would be now if Jesus was born within a month, about 8 months pregnant. And the piece is called Mary Consoles Eve. On the screen behind me, I've included the full image on the right and a highlight image on the left, and it imagines Mary and Eve reaching across time and meeting just before Jesus was to be born. Sister Grace Remington created this piece with pencil and crayon in 2003, and it has become quite well known and quite well loved ever since. A fellow sister of hers wrote a poem to go along with it, and here's the poem. O Eve, my mother, my daughter, life-giving Eve, do not be ashamed. Do not grieve. The former things have passed away. Our God has brought us to a new day. See, I am with child, through whom all will be reconciled. O Eve, my sister, my friend, we will rejoice together forever, life without end. I find the picture absolutely beautiful, and it says so much. I'm not sure how well you can see it from where you are seated, but Eve's face is worried, as though she knows the mess that this baby is about to be born into. And she feels the shame she and her husband played in creating that mess. But Mary doesn't share Eve's concern. She doesn't look worried at all. With one hand, she comforts Eve, placing it on her cheek. And notice, if you could put the image back up there, Brent, that'd be great. Notice what Eve is clutching in her right hand, holding close to her chest. The apple, a representation of everything that is messy and broken. It's hard to give up brokenness and sin when it's all you've ever known. The Romans passage warns us about this, about our nature to squander life on indulgence and bickering and grabbing for whatever we can. Jesus also mentions this in describing how the people lived right up to the moment of the flood, just clutching the apple. But beautifully and graciously, Mary doesn't force Eve to let it go. She just invites her to touch what is new. With Mary's other hand, she guides Eve's free hand toward her own belly, to touch and to believe that something new is unfolding. Not only is Mary not worried, she's smiling. She knows things, good things. She knows the music that is about to begin through the life of her son. You can almost hear her saying to Eve, "Go ahead, love. Hold on to the apple if you must. But can I take your other hand? Can I show you something else? Put your other hand here, sister. You are carrying shame in your body, Eve, but I am carrying salvation in mine." And just as Mary in this image gently invites Eve to consider the old story is over and a new story has begun. All of our passages in our lectionary readings this morning do the very same thing, especially that Romans passage that Scott read that invites us to stop wasting time, to put an end to bickering and greedily trying to grab everything in sight, but instead to wake up to what God is doing, because the night is about over and dawn is about to break. The invitation of Advent is to believe with Mary and Jesus that the former things have passed away. And the music of the almost not ready and already kingdom of God has begun. May we grow ever more skilled at playing its melodies and harmonies and rhythms, corporately and individually. May we get better and better at engaging in the cosmic duet of God's kingdom song. Let's pray together. Holy One, thank you that the final recital is already here. It has begun. And like Eve, we've become quite good at clutching the apple, at holding on to the old songs of selfishness and greed and division. But we hear your invitation. By the life of your Son and by the words of your prophets, you've given us the music of your new kingdom song. We already know what it sounds like. May we join you on the piano bench and learn to play it better. In Jesus' name, amen.